Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, April the 13th, as we come off a day with no Phillies baseball. Phillies get rained out yesterday in New York. A bummer. You know, it's one of those things, we go so long without baseball, as soon as it comes back, any time where it's snatched away from us when we're expecting it is always crushing. But, you know, it is what it is. It's what happens, especially in April. We know that in this part of the country, we're going to have some rainouts here and there. And, you know, you deal with such things. You deal with such things. And look, on the other flip side, we get a doubleheader today. We get 2 7-inning games, albeit. We'll talk about that later. We'll dive into it. But look, day off, rest the pitcher's arms, all that type of stuff. And look, it gives us a chance to talk a little bit more about some of the things from the weekend that we didn't really dive into here on this show as much as I would have liked, having to, you know, talk about three games over the weekend and get into everything that happened so much, and then talk about some of the thoughts about the team. There were some things that happened in Atlanta that we talked a bit about, but I think certainly are worthy of a little extra time. We'll take the rain delay time with no game to react to talk about that. So I want to start by going back to the Bohm play at the plate. Obviously, I think the most controversial part of the weekend, you know, there were some boneheaded plays, Jose Alvarado's for one. There were some managerial mistakes, which we've talked about and we'll talk more about. But I think in terms of, and again, the Acuna thing, which we'll talk more about. But I think certainly from a national perspective and certainly in terms of the Phillies themselves, the most consequential thing was the Bohm play at the plate. And, you know, look, there's been a lot of anger being spouted over the replay review officials to decision to not overturn the call. And look, I think I certainly, in all honesty, didn't think he touched the plate. I didn't see him touch the plate. There was no view provided that looked like he did touch the plate. So I understand the anger. I understand the outrage. I understand why there is a certainly brave. Look, if it was the other way around and it's Ronald Acuna sliding into home plate there and the game situation is reversed, you know, we're furious. We are. We know we will be. And something like that will happen and we'll be furious about it. And we'll be right to be furious about it. Now, the flip side, and where I think you can make an argument, is that whether you like the rule or not, the rule of replay is that they have to find conclusive evidence to overturn it. And while you don't see an angle of him touching the plate, you know, it didn't seem, first of all, we only saw two angles the whole time and only saw the better overhead angle at the end one time, it looked like. It definitely, you could argue that there was not conclusive evidence he didn't. Like, certainly that the top of his shoe didn't graze home plate, or I mean, and I know we're getting nitpicky here, but a shoelace didn't touch on play. I don't know. I don't think you can say that for sure necessarily from the replay. So I understand both sides of this. I understand the people who are furious about it, and you know, mostly Braves fans. But look, there were national people. Buster Olney seemed really upset, saying baseball had to say they made a mistake and all that. And I understand, not to that level of outrage. I think take it a little far. But I get being annoyed or upset with that if you're a Braves fan or a Braves player or whatever. But again, I also understand the rule of law, as it were, in this case, the law of instant replay, maybe a little formal there. But nonetheless, it's, you know, what we'll go with by the rule of law of instant replay. I can see why they didn't overturn it. Look, I think the bigger issue that this brings up, and look, it comes up a lot in these types of situations, particularly when a lot of people feel that instant replay isn't even getting it right, is the question of the value of instant replay itself, particularly in a game like baseball. You know, a game like football, with a lot of those bang-bang plays and the speed at which the game is played and the frequency with which calls seem to be missed, I can understand the want for it there. And look, I'll wholeheartedly admit that I have wavered on this topic, and I have for a long time really been a get the call right guy, that the most important thing is getting the call right. And if that means instant replay, that means instant replay. But, I mean, then you run into these types of situations where it does feel like, you know, it's certainly possible that they got the call wrong even with instant replay. And we've certainly seen other situations where it was very clear that the call was wrong and the instant replay didn't overturn it. That raises the question, then why are we doing it, right? I mean, if the whole point, at least for people like me, and I think a lot of people who have or do support instant replay, have supported or do support instant replay, I think a lot of the reasoning for supporting it is the idea that you want it to be right. You know, these are high-level competitive games that you want it to be fair and you want it to be judged accurately. And I think that that's the positive that instant replay brings, obviously. But in a sport like baseball, where, yes, look, we see it. There are situations where, and I think we see it mostly with plays at, you know, first base or you know, play where it's a bang-bang play and the ump gets it wrong. And we know it gets overturned and it's pretty easy and it works pretty efficiently and all that. And there is some value in that and all that. But in a game like baseball where, you know, football games are first and foremost, once a week, right? You know, they're 17 times coming up this year, 16 prior to that. Whereas baseball is 162 a year. It's a grind. It's asking an audience to come and watch your game 162 times a year is a big ask, you know. And then when these games are as long as they are, and look, I'm someone who you know, generally believes either you love baseball or you don't, and the length of the game shouldn't have that much of an impact on it. But I do acknowledge that it is better for the sport if they can tighten some of the stuff up, and particularly the stuff that is not entertaining, like the pitching changes or, you know, the this type of thing, watching it replay or whatever. And for the amount of times we see these replay officials or whoever these umpires are not want to go against the calls on the field that maybe they should, or just the general stoppages that we have to the game and the idea of kind of taking out some of the spontaneity of the sport. I certainly know that's, you know, I think anyone who watches football knows that's an issue where, you know, if you see a great play, a touchdown, wherever, you have to like kind of stop and wait and be like, wait, did something not work right? Is there going to be a replay challenge? Or this, you know, you're unsure. Flags, is there a flag? All that type of stuff. Where, I think for baseball, you know, it is a sport with the when something happens, it happens. Like there's no replay review on a home run, right? I mean, there's no replay review on a double of the gap. Like all that type of stuff. Where, it's really those bang bang plays and these types of situations. the tags and stuff. And it's a question of, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it for the delay in the game, for the, you know, few amount of times where it really makes a massive difference? I don't know. I think it's a pretty interesting philosophical question about watching the sport and how we consume the sport and what we want out of the sport. And I think the bone play a perfect example of it. I mean, look, this looking at it from our perspective as Phillies fans, again, I was saying, you know, I can understand a Braves fan being annoyed with it or whatever, but from our perspective, the idea that, you know, not only obviously we're happy the call went the way it did, but we'd be much happier if there weren't any replay and he just scored and there was no question about it and you just kind of move forward and like people could look at the replay and say, hey, he touched plate, not sure. Well, it's baseball. Then this whole thing about like, oh, if Major League Baseball has to come out and say what a mistake they made. And, you know, it's still horrible for the Drew Smiley saying it's embarrassing that the replay is, we use replay and it's still doing it right. Oh, it's like enough, you know? So, I don't know. Again, I vacillate on where I stand on this issue, but ultimately I do think it is, comes into focus, squarely into focus when things like this happen. And a perfect example of it. And ultimately, look, Phillies won the game. This will be a footnote in the season. Ultimately, it will be wild. If, let's say the Phillies beat the Braves by one game in the NL East or something, that would be pretty wild, because then you look back at it and you're like, oh, buddy. Even then, it would have been a tie game. You know, the Braves still would have had to win the game. Hector was mowed him down in the ninth. You know, the Phillies would have top of the order coming up. So, whatever. But ultimately, I think it does raise that interesting kind of bigger philosophical question. All right, another thing I want to get into a little bit more. We talked a little bit about it. But talked about it on the WIP Midday Show yesterday, mostly in response because of Jody Camara having a pretty strong take against Acuna. And what we talked about a little bit yesterday on Friday night when he hit the two-run shot off Wheeler, the tank shot to center field, and, you know, kind of stood and watched a little bit and did his little skip jump thing and was exuberant. And look, you know, if you've listened to anything I've ever done this show in the past, you know, any of the other stuff I talk about, you know that I'm a big proponent of letting the kids play and letting guys celebrate. And if you don't want someone to celebrate a home run, then don't throw a pitch that he can hit a mammoth home run off of and all that type of stuff. So you know where I come down. But I do think that it does kind of raise into question, you know, kind of what you want from the sport in a lot of ways, because you know, Joe's whole thing was talking about how this was an opportunity for the Phillies to come together and rally around Zach Wheeler, and Acuna showed Wheeler up, and you got to have your teammates back. And I think, first and foremost, I think what Acuna did was so mild and innocuous that, you know, I don't think that it's the right situation. If Acuna had, like, you know, stared Wheeler down and, you know, mocked him in some way, sure, I get it, then it's a different story. But that didn't happen. He just wanted, he had a tank shot and he watched it a little bit, and, you know, that's got to be okay. We can't, you gotta let these players play the game and have fun. This is a baseball, is a, as any of these you know, high level athletic sports are highly competitive, highly emotional, highly testosterone driven and all that. And when you succeed, I mean, think, like, you're hitting a 98 mile per hour fastball, 450 feet. Like, how could you not show some excitement in that moment? What are you, a robot? I mean, you know, I get it. Look, I love the adage of, you know, put your head down and act like you've been there before. When you hit a tank shot, put your head down and run around the bases. And that's as cool as flipping the bat. But I'm not going to blame people for being exuberant and having fun. Again, while they're playing a game. Right, I mean, baseball's a game at its core. You know, yes, it is competitive, and yes, we really live and die with these wins and losses with our team, metaphorically speaking, of course. But it's a game, and it's supposed to be fun. And when guys are having fun playing it, I think that ultimately, on average, that's good for the sport. You know, it's the kind of thing where it should be fun to watch, because it. These guys should be having fun because they're playing a game. They're grown-ups out there playing a game for our enjoyment, and that should be fun. And, you know, again, I am not someone who is, like, super against the unwritten rules or, like, who's, like, never, you know. I understand the way baseball works. I love baseball my whole life. It's my favorite sport. Like, I have that stuff built into me, too. I'm 39 years old. I grew up with all that stuff, too, the unwritten rules and plunking a guy and all that stuff, and I don't. I'm not saying that all that stuff doesn't matter. I do think there's a place in the game for that type of stuff, but not this, not because someone celebrates because they beat you at the game. Like, if one of their pitchers, let's say, here's where you retaliate. You retaliate when if Zach Wheeler, because Ronald Acuna, you know, stared at a home run and whatever, if Zach Wheeler then decided to hit Acuna or hit Ozzy Alves, whoever's up next, then I would be like, all right, then you got to throw out their guy, because that's clearly he is retaliating for someone just beating him. Like, not a physical act, not like protecting a teammate. Like, if you want to protect your teammate, I get it. That's part of the game. I'm not saying I would never endorse throwing at anyone ever. Those guys throw way too hard and all that stuff. But if you want to hit someone in the ribs or in the butt or whatever because the other guy hit your teammate on purpose, I get it. All right. That's part of the deal. But this isn't. Not when you get beat. Make a better pitch. You know, like, don't just go and retaliate because he celebrated a bit. I mean, again, like, pitchers do K-struts. Pitchers are allowed to, like, pump their fist coming off the mound at the end of an inning or whatever. Like, what's the difference? How is that any different? I never understood that. The people are like, don't baffle it, don't showboat. Like, how's it any different when a pitcher strikes a guy out at the end of an inning and, like, does, like, a hardcore pump, you know, fist pump and hops off the mound? And, like, how's that different? Same thing. You're playing a sport. It's competitive. They're having fun. Let them live. Let them have fun. So that's my thoughts on that, my strong thoughts on that. And look, I know, like, Zach Wheeler didn't sound happy after the game when he was asked about it, but I think he didn't sound happy because he gave up the tank shot. Next time, don't give up the tank shot. That's really what it comes down to for me. I just, on a super basic level, I think these guys should be allowed to have fun, allowed to have fun playing this game. And if having fun is being exuberant and celebrating when good things happen, that's cool, man. As long as you're not being a jerk about it, as long as they're not doing it, like, literally, like, in the person's face, like, whatever. Get over it. Move on. All right, one other thing I want to get to, and we're going to look ahead to the doubleheader today and the rest of this Mets series, provided things happen. There's a lot of weather issues up there for the next few days. We'll see. Hopefully we get it all in as we want our Mets baseball. Obviously, maybe Thursday when DeGrom's scheduled a pitch. If that one doesn't happen, it could be worse. But ultimately, two today. We'll get to that. But I quickly wanted to touch on, and I mentioned it quickly yesterday, but the Girardi thing. Because Joe, funny enough, Joe DeCamera, like I was just talking about, was upset with Girardi's performance from this weekend because of that Acuna thing, because he didn't tell them to throw at them. He didn't rally the team around Wheeler and defend his guy. And I disagree with all that, as you just talked about. But I actually thought Girardi just had a bad weekend in general for other reasons, baseball weekend. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday, but the, the second mound visit forcing Wheeler to come out of the game on the 2-0 count, like, look, I know the rules have changed over the last few years about the mound visits, and it's, you know, not as cut and dry as it used to be and all that, but man, you can't make that mistake if you're Joe Girardi. You know, you can't. You can't make that mistake. You're a veteran manager. It was a mistake, and look, it's a brain fart. It happens. I'm not going to kill him. I said it yesterday, and it is true. If it was Gabe Kapler, people would be, you know, tearing him apart for a long time. Like, this was not somewhere just, like, go away. It'd be like, for a while, people would be ripping Gabe Kapler for that. Remember that time Gabe Kapler did that? Like, you would hear that. But regardless, it was a mistake from Girardi. And I just think tactically, he's made some mistakes. I didn't like that he didn't come down harder on the Alvarado thing. That was dumb baseball. It was bad baseball. You can't make those kinds of mistakes. You can't make those kinds of brain farts. And not, get caught out for it. And there'd be some sort of, verbal repercussions, so to speak. And maybe Girardi did it behind closed doors. I'm sure he did something. But it did just feel like he kind of shirked anyone having any responsibility on that play. And it was a total, total, total boneheaded play. And look, this is all, I don't think a manager has that much of an impact on a baseball team. I don't, it's a few wins here or there, 2, 3, 4, maybe, whatever. I think a bad manager can hurt a team for sure. Especially guys who are bad managed bullpens and all that kind of stuff. But, and I don't think Troy's a bad manager. I think he's a good manager. I do. I don't think it's going to, I don't think he's losing them games right now. But I do think tactically he's definitely had, you know, some question marks with some of the decisions he's made. And look, I do think ultimately in a separate vein, I think that if we're talking about what's the most important thing a manager could do in baseball, it's, I think, really bringing guys together and the culture that he creates and the way they work and the mentality they have. And, you know, 162 games is a grind. It's a every day, every night. You know, today they're playing two, you know, and then they're back at it tomorrow. And it's just what it is. It's a grind. And I think a manager's job is really, our biggest job in baseball is keeping a clubhouse and a attitude and a mindset there where these guys are invested that whole time and are able to come to the park every day and give it their all and are able to feel like they get rest at the right time, feel like they continue to, you know, and knowing the guys and knowing when you need to rest guys for their own sake and all these types of things. It's more about knowing the guys and knowing what they need and how to foster a culture that allows them to be at their best over what, again, is a grind, is a not easy. A 162 game season is not easy on these players. It is a real tough task, and it's tough to show up every single day over that time. So, and I do think that's where a manager and really great managers can separate and create these types of things. And really, I think, point being, I think it's far too early to really rip Girardi for anything substantial. But I definitely have, you know, he's had some moments. He's had some moments where he's made some decisions that I've disagreed with. I mean, look, part of it's the roster too. You know, we talked about it, but you know, what's he supposed to do in center field? You know, it's hard to blame him with those guys. I mean, what's the options? And you know, when he needs a right-handed bat off the bench, and it's got to be Roman Quinn, Andrew Knapp, or Ronald Torres. I mean, I get it. Like, I wouldn't know what to do either. You know, I wouldn't know what to do either. So I don't totally blame him. Is my point for some of these decisions and some of these things he's done. But I definitely think, as we've talked about over the course of these games, there are certain things where you can say, "Yep, no, Girardi did a bad job there. Girardi could have done a better job." All right. Quickly, one last thing before we look at it. I didn't shout it out quite enough, but I just want to mention the I know it's got national attention, but I love that thing with the Phillies fan, the kid who got the Freddie Freeman home run ball and gave it to the Braves fan in the Freeman jersey. And it's getting the attention it deserves, and it's getting the love it deserves, but it just, Philly fans get so much crap. We all know it, nationally, so much. Like, we're the worst fans in the world and all that, and we all know that we're not. We all know that we're great fans, and we care, and we're passionate, and that, you know, the stupid things that happen are blown way out of proportion to further this narrative. That's just not true. But I do love those opportunities where Philly fans do show on a national stage how great we are and you know, shine a light on the good things. And the kid and his dad definitely did that. And that's awesome. It's commendable. And it was really cool to see. And look, as a kid, I think about how tough it is to give away a home run ball. I'm 39. I've been going to baseball games my whole life and so many of them. And I've never caught a foul ball, never caught a home run ball. Like, you know, I would treasure one if I got it. And to give it up in that spot, especially another kid, I just thought that was a really awesome, awesome thing to see. So shout out to that kid. Shout out to his dad for raising a great kid. And really just, again, awesome stuff. It was really, really cool to see. All right, looking ahead to today, double header action, a back-to-backer, 4-10 start for the first one, 7-10 theoretically for the second, 7 innings, which I'm fine with. You know, I hated it heading into last year, and it proved to be fine. You know, it didn't feel that crazy. And look, it's a long day of baseball, and I'm good with it. Game one, Chase Anderson against Taijuan Walker. I like Taijuan Walker. He's super talented. We'll see. First start of the season for the Mets. Second start of the season for Walker, as had a decent start in his first start. 6 innings, 2 earned, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks. Going up against Anderson, we know 5 innings, 2 runs in his first start. And then game two, the big one, Aaron Nola against Marcus Stroman. Stroman, weren't sure if he was going to be able to pitch this series, as he threw the, like, 7 pitches or 9 pitches, whatever it was, in Miami before they canceled that game after. And he was, you know, talked about how annoyed he was with it or whatever. But ultimately said he feels good to go. So Stroman it is, which is a shame. Look, Stroman, you know, started the game the Phillies lost to the Mets last one and pitched really well. So we'll see. Luckily, he's going up against Nola. Hopefully, we get a better Nola performance than last time, the four-inning start last time, even though they won. You know, just win. Just win, baby. That's all we need. So, but a big one. Look, 2-1 today against a team you need to win some games. Coming off losing 2-3 to the Braves, it would be nice to see the Phillies take at least one today. And obviously, if they could sweep a doubleheader, that would be massive. But let's take at least one today, and we'll feel good. So either way, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow and to look ahead to Wednesday's game and everything else as well, of course. So until then, thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.